الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة الصف اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون يا ايها الذين امنوا هل ادلكم على تجاره تنجيكم من عذاب اليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله باموالكم وانفسكم ذلكم خير لكم ان كنتم تعلمون يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الانهار ومساكن طيبه في جنات عدن ذلك الفوز العظيم واخرى تحبونها نصر من الله وفتح قريب وبشر المؤمنين يا ايها الذين امنوا كونوا انصار الله كما قال عيسى ابن مريم للحواريين من انصاري الى الله قال الحواريون نحن انصار الله فآمن الطائفة من بني اسرائيل وكفر الطائفة فأيدنا الذين آمنوا على عدوهم فأصبحوا ظاهرين صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم وفقنا ان نجاهد في سبيلك باموالنا وانفسنا اللهم ارزقنا شهادة في سبيلك امين يا رب العالمين In the last session we devoted quite a lot of time to our discussion on the ayah number 9 which is the main axis central theme of Surah As-Saff But I want to discuss this ayah from one another angle. And that is the angle of finality of prophethood or finality of the messengerhood of Allah. We believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last prophet, last messenger of Allah. This is an article of faith. Inevitable. So much so that whosoever believes that there can be or there was any prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is outside the pale of Islam. He becomes a non-Muslim. It's an agreed upon issue. There's consensus on it. But this fidelity of prophethood or messenger of Allah has two aspects. One has a legal bearing, and because it has a legal bearing, it has occupied the attention of the Ummah. The other aspect, which is more important, has, so to say, been ignored. The legal aspect is Khatm-e-Nabuwah. But even this word Khatm, what does it mean? It has both the meanings in Arabic language also, in which this is being used in Urdu language. I have to quote, and I apologize to those who don't understand Urdu. When we say, paise khatam ho gaye, ya anaj khatam ho gaya, what does it mean? There was some money before, but now there's no money. We had some food before, but now there's no food. This is one meaning of khatam. Something has come to an end. It doesn't exist now. The other aspect, a student says, "Maine school ka kaam khatam kar liya." What does it mean? I've completed my task. This is the another meaning of the same word. Usne apna kaam khatam kar liya. The work assigned to him has been completed. This is the aspect. The first aspect has a legal bearing. After Muhammad, no Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whosoever claimed became a non-Muslim, kafir, murtad. Whosoever believed in him became a kafir and murtad. And because it had a legal bearing that he is a Muslim or he is not a Muslim, and because there have been false claimants of prophethood, so this aspect of Khatm-e-Nubuwwah, much attention has been devoted. Because this question has been a living and burning question in the Indian subcontinent. Due to Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani claiming to be a Nabi, a prophet. So the ulama there, they have done their duty fully. Especially, Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmahullah has written a very big book, important book, which has covered all the aspects of this issue of Khatm-e-Nubuwwah. Nothing can be added to it. There's no need of any addition in it. But the other aspect of Khatm-e-Nubuwwah is that actually in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the institution of prophethood reached its climax. This is it. Actually, this is the basis of the superiority of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the whole of the messenger, all the other messengers. The legal aspect has no superiority. A chain of prophets was coming, going on. At one stage, it ends. Is it a basis of superiority? On the contrary, it may be said, prophethood was something good. It was continuing. And if it had come to an end, the continuation of mercy of Allah, would that have been good? Or that becoming stopped at a point? It is better. The thinking would go otherwise. Khatm-e-Nubuwwah is a fact. But it cannot be the basis of the precedence or superiority of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the other messengers of Allah. His superiority, his precedence over the all of the messengers of Allah is that this institution reached its zenith, its climax. It becomes completed in the person of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So completion of Nubuwwah and messengerhood is the other aspect of this Khatm-e-Nubuwwah to which, as far as I think, enough attention has not been paid. And I want to refer to this ayah regarding this aspect of the finality of prophethood. Regarding the legal aspect, the ayah which is always quoted is from Suratul Ahzab. مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدُ الْأَبَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْ رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَاكِ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. This is the ayah and the only ayah of the Quran which is quoted regarding the aqidah and dogma of Khatm-e-Nubuwwah. But actually this ayah, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. This is the basis of the superiority of the messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over all the other messengers of Allah. Alayhi salatu wa salam. And this ayah gives us four bases, four points of the superiority of the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over that of all the other messengers of Allah. Three of these are based on the process of scientific, intellectual and social evolution that has been going on. Now this is, so to say, a difficult discussion. Focus your attention, please. We know and we believe that two caravans started their journey simultaneously at one point. Caravan of humanity and caravan of prophethood. Started with one person, Adam. First human being was also the first Nabi. First prophet of Allah. These two things started from one point. This caravan of humanity is continuing and continuing, and we can't say till the doomsday, till Qiyamah, it will be continuing. But the caravan of prophethood stopped and came to an end 1400 years ago in the person of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. after reaching its zenith and climax. Now, what are the three aspects? First of all, and this aspect is based on scientific and technological advance. Till such time that whole of humanity could be gathered under one Rasul, all the messengers of Allah were sent to their nations only. This institution of messengers of Allah was regional, limited to areas, limited to nations. إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ Now put it all of humanity. وَإِلَىٰ هُودٍ إِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا And towards the nation of Aad, we sent Hud, عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَ أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا So all these messages of Allah were sent not for the whole of humanity, but for regions or nations only. Even Jesus Christ was sent for only Bani Israel. Please note it here. He was not sent for the whole of humanity. He himself said, I have come to search for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Main Israel ke gharane ki khoi hui bhedon ki talash mein aaya. As the Bible tells us, he forbade his disciples to make tabligh or make dawah to the non-Israelis in very stern words. It was his express commandment. Limit your dawah to the Israelis only. And Quran also says so. وَرَسُولًا إِلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ He was a messenger for Bani Israel. Not the whole of humanity. It was again Saint Paul who extended this tabligh and call of Christianity beyond this nation of Israel to the other nations. But Christ himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, forbade his disciples. This is given by the Bible itself. The words are very strong. Does any man throw the bread for his children before dogs? Isn't the word that he used, according to the Bible. I think there is something, some change has been made. These words, the wording, they don't appear to me to be appropriate with the person of Jesus. He must have used a more civilized language. Wording to the Bible, are these? Don't throw the bread that is meant for your children before the dogs. Anyhow, please note, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the first and the last messenger of Allah who has been sent for the whole of humanity. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا We have not sent you, O Muhammad, but for the whole of humanity as Bashir and Nazir, as giver of the glad tidings, as well as warner. And this is هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ It is as if this word رَسُولَهُ is applicable fully in its topmost meaning to the person of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This institution has reached its climax and zenith in the person of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, Quran says, Torah also had guidance. Fiha hudam wa noor. Injil also had contained guidance. Allah sent Torah. Allah sent Injil. Fihi hudam wa noor. These are the wordings which appear in Surah Al-Ma'idah. But this hudan, this guidance, has reached its zenith in Quran. Al-huda, the guidance, the total guidance. Why? Because as we know, the process of intellectual evolution was still going on. Humanity at a time was in its childhood. What is its infancy? The thought process had not ripened, was not mature. At that time, 4,000 years or 3,500 years before this time, humanity was given some commandments, 10 commandments. Do this, don't do this. بفلسفي بحكمة بالوزدم. Humility was not mature enough to be taught that. When a child is studying in the primary class, third, fourth, fifth sections, even if you are a PhD teacher, his knowledge is great, but he can't impart to this child all that knowledge that he has. He can give to the child, he can impart to the child only that much which is comprehensible, intelligible for him. Humanity was progressing, intellectually progressing, becoming mature and mature and mature. Till such time, people who have wrote books on the history of philosophy, they admitted that the human thought became ripe in 1200 years, starting from 600 BC and 600 AD. This is the period in which the philosophical thought of humanity became ripe. All philosophies, all religions of the history of mankind, they appeared during these 1200 years. Buddhism, Shintoism, Confucianism, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, all the philosophers. Between 600 BC and 600 AD. And some people say, who have studied philosophy in depth, that after 600 AD, no new philosophy has come. These are the old, same old philosophies presented under new labels in new bottles and nothing else. So human philosophical thought ripened. And at that time, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with the total and final guidance. Now you are mature enough. Take it. And this is for all times to come. Now you are mature enough. You can make ijtihad, further ijtihad you can make. You are mature enough that the final guidance be given to them, to you. And that is why it was preserved. Please note, why? Why was Torah not preserved? If Allah wanted to keep it preserved, could it be destroyed? Could there be any change in its text? If Allah wanted so, why didn't He want? If Allah wanted to keep Bible preserved, could it be lost? Could any alteration be made in it? If Allah wanted to keep it intact? No. Then why did it so? I usually say that these books have a right to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why this stepmotherly treatment for us? We are also your books. Quran is also your book. You took upon yourself to preserve Quran. You didn't grant that protection to us. Why? Was Torah not the book of Allah? Baat hai na. Musal kitab. He gave him the book. So this is the difference. Because still, human mind was evolving. And this final guidance has to come. There was no necessity of keeping all these former editions of this Al-Huda. The former and, so to say, the earlier editions, incomplete editions of the Huda, to preserve them, no need. When this Al-Huda was given, total guidance, it had been preserved for all time to come. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى. Universal prophethood, universal messengerhood for Muhammad. Final guidance, reached its zenith in Quran, given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now come to the third aspect. وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. This deenil haq, the whole system of life based on social justice. Because a process of social evolution was also going on. There was a time when our ancestors were living in caves. No social system, no even municipal committee, nothing of the sort. Every man was the monarch of all he surveyed. He was the sovereign of his cave. Then the tribal system started. One tribe, one chief. You have to obey the chief. Then city-states came into existence. 3, 4, 5 tribes living in one city, just as Medina. 5 tribes were living there. Aus, Khazraj, Banu Qurayza, Banu Qainqa, and so on. Banu Nuzayr. Then was the time of empires. The Iranian Empire, the Roman Empire. Now the system of life. It has taken a form, a collective form, social order. And then the Deenul Haq was given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the biggest need and necessity of human beings is a just social order. We should be balanced from every respect. Justice at the political level. No repression. No rule of man by man. No. Qulu ibadallah ikhwana. No malik, no king. Halaka kisra wala kisra ba'da. Halaka kaisra wala kaisra ba'da. No exploitation. Equitable distribution of wealth. No social discrimination. Kullukum banu adam wa adam min turab. On the basis of color of skin, on the basis of blood and race, nobody is high, nobody is low. A system based on social justice in every respect, political, socio-economic system, completed in the form of Islam and given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These three words denote the finality and the completion of prophethood and messengerhood of Allah on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why you find Quran these words ikmal and itmam. Ikmal, to make something complete. Kamil. Itmam, to take something to its highest level. Tamam. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-deen. These two words, very important. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. It has been now made complete. Because now, after a long journey of social evolution, man has reached this level. That he has the concept of a social system, social order. Now, after the maturity of the understanding and intelligence and philosophical thought of man, now man is mature enough to get the guidance, total guidance forever. And now, due to the scientific and technological advance, it is possible that whole humanity can come under one Rasul. That is why He was sent for the whole of humanity. He was given Al-Huda, the final and complete guidance. And He was given the Deen, Deenul Haq, that is the just social order. Complete in every respect, political, social, as well as economic. Now the fourth aspect of the finality of the Prophethood or Messengerhood of Allah on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is لِيُزْهِرَهُ. He established it. He didn't only preach it. I quoted the example of Republic of Plato, a book so important that it is living even today, written at least 300 years before Jesus. A book 2,200 years old, still living. Not a book, Republic. But the system that was proposed by Plato was never established on even a square inch of land at any moment, even a second, for even a second in this world. Hence, this is utopia, I say. It's a dream. It's not something practicable. In the same way, had Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam given the whole socio-economic system in the form of a book only, it couldn't become an argument. The argument it could be, and it has become, because he established it. He could show a model. It's not a utopia. It's not something impracticable. It's practicable. Even the enemies of Islam, they have to admit that at least for 30 long years after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that system was established in toto. No change whatsoever. And that is why the Prophet himself called it Khilafa ala minhajin nubuwa. Khilafa in the footsteps of nubuwa. The same system. While democracy, the dream of which was seen by Plato, never existed. Even the democracy of Voltaire and Rousseau never established up to this time. Nobody can say that democracy has been established. If you think this is democracy in America, it's a big folly. It's the dictatorship of the capitalist. Even the Soviets used to call their system Soviet republics. Were the republics? The dictatorship of party. No republic. Only the members of a party were ruling. And they were in the very minority, small minority, as compared to the total population of that country. So that was dictatorship of a party. And this is dictatorship of the capitalist here. That democracy, and that classless society, about which Marx dreamed, before it can come into existence, the whole, you know, the system of communism just fall away. Gone with the wind. But even the enemies of Islam have to admit that at least for 30 years after the death of the Prophet, the same, exactly the same system that was promulgated and established by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself remained intact. And then also it gradually went down. Not that the whole edifice was finished in one day or 2 or 3 years. No, no. It gradually came down. As Shah Ismail Shahid says in his book, Mansab-e-Imamat, it was like a 6-story building. The 6-story went off. 5 stories remained intact. After some time, the 5th also went. Then 4 were intact. After some time, the 4th also went. And so after 1,000 years, the whole edifice came to an end. Not only for 30 years, but for 30 years, that system was established 100% intact, just as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam established. This is actually, لَيُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, that he not only preached Deenul Haq, he not only proposed Deenul Haq, he established Deenul Haq. And the final point, which is the biggest argument of Allah against this ummah, is that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that not through miracle, but through human effort, hard work, sacrifices, facing failures after failures. The commandment comes to him, Anzir ashirataka al-aqrabin. He calls his relatives, invites them to feast, serves the meals, they take their meals, and when he stands up to put before them his message, there was hooting and shouting and people went. Nobody heard even a sentence, even a word from him. Total failure. Then after some days, again meals were served. This time they felt some shame that we have taken meals for twice. Now let us listen what he has to say. But what was the outcome? When he presented his message, the whole gathering congregation remained silent. Out of the total gathering of Banu Hashim, the whole tribe, only one teenager, 13 years of age, Ali stood up. Although I am the youngest of all, although I am the weakest of all, but I will help you. And the whole congregation laughed. Look at him. He is going to change the destiny of human race. And he is his supporter, Ali. None else. He was facing deal. Hello. Then commandment came. Fasta be matuma. He climbed the mount of Safa. Called people. Basabaha. People gathered. When he presented his message, his real uncle said, your hands may be broken. Tabbat yada. We thought that you have to say something very important to us. You know, busy in our jobs. You called us. We thought there is some news of some tribe attacking us. You called us for these things. On that surah was revealed. Tabbat yada abi lahabin wa tab. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Hands have been broken of Abu Lahab, not of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you know, even after 10 years of hardest labor, he didn't have more than 150% around him. People calling him a shayir, a sahir. Majnoon, kazzab, mas'ool. Not even sahir, mas'ool. So actually, what Muhammad accomplished, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he accomplished through hard work, hard labor, facing failure. All the disheartenings, frustrations, griefs and sorrows. Quran says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَسْيِقُ صَبْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Oh, Muhammad, we really well know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you are grieved by listening what they are saying about you. فَصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Have patience. Bear it with forbearance. Whatever they are saying, take it. So this was the condition. As I quoted previously, when there was nothing to eat for Bani Israel, Man and Salwa were given. When there was nothing to eat for Muhammad and his family, which was there in the Shebe Bani Hashim, nothing was given. No man, no salwa. Go hungry for days and days. When there was the battle of Ahzab, Muhammad and his companions, they had tied stones to their bellies, lest backs give way, we collapse. No man, no salwa. Bear it. Take it. You have to pass through it. In the streets of Taif, stoning, body of Muhammad bleeding, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take it. Have it. So that your ummah should not be able to say after you that what Muhammad did was through his miracles. How can we do it? Miracles could come at every step for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Were the Bani Israel more dear to Allah than Muhammad and his companions? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu ta'ala wa majmai. No. But because the ummah has to do this work again, miracles can be sent for messengers of Allah, for prophets of Allah, for not common people. They will have to do it through hard work and struggle and sacrifices and hardships. So you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you, O companions of our Prophet, you also do it through hard work and hard labor and sacrifices and bearing all the hardships, even giving your life. Only life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not lost in the struggle. His blood did fall on the earth. Twice, at least. It was absorbed in the sands of Taif as well as in the sands of Uhud. Twice his blood. So this is five aspects of the finality of the institution of prophethood and messengerhood of Allah. Number one, he is the only messenger of Allah sent for the whole of humanity. This is based on the advance of technology and science. Because now the whole world has really become one. The whole humanity can really be gathered under one banner. Before Muhammad it was impossible. The distances were great. How could the message of Abraham reach China? Impossible. But now it has become possible. Number two, the Hudan. فَإِمَّا يَاتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي Hudan. That Hudan became Al-Huda. Total guidance. Why? Because now the humanity had become enough mature intellectually that it could be given the total and eternal guidance. Before that, it couldn't be given. I shall refer to a quotation of Bible, inshallah, tomorrow. That's very important regarding this point. Thirdly, he was given the Deenul Haq, the whole complete system of life. Because now, the social evolution of humanity has reached a level when actually a total life system of life, the concept of a system of life that had emerged. And now it was the necessity that a total system of life be given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number four, he not only preached it theoretically, he not only described the political, socio-economic system of Islam in his book, he actually established it so that it couldn't be said that it is impracticable. It's very good. It sounds very nice. Oh, it's very beautiful. But it's impracticable. It can't be implemented. It can't be established. No, he established it. Number five, the process of establishment of Deen of Allah, that was not through miracles. The miracle of Muhammad is Quran, and Quran is preserved that he gave to his ummah when he departed. He said in the last sermon on the departing Hajj, قَدْ تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِلَيْهِ قَسَمْتُمْ بِهِ لَنْ تَضِلُّوا أَبَدَى كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. O Muslims, I am departing. He said during that Hajj that I don't think we shall be able to meet again here. خُذُوا أَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ فَإِنِّي مَقْبُولٌ. Learn from me this manasik of Hajj, because I am going to be maqbool. My life, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take it. So in the end he said, although I am departing, but I am not living with you without any support. Well, this was my miracle. Quran, have it. You have it. The miracle of Moses was Asa. It was a miracle only when it was in the hands of Moses. Otherwise it was just a stick. A piece of wood, nothing else. The shining hand was with the life of Moses. All the miracles of Jesus were limited to him. They couldn't be transmitted to people. But the miracle of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Quran. And that he gave. Take it. Because you have to continue this mission after me. I have conveyed to you, you have to convey to the humanity at large. I have established this system of Deenul Haq in this Arabian Peninsula. You have to establish it over the whole of the earth. This is my miracle. This is my instrument. Utar kar Hira se suye qaum aaya aur ek nuskhae kimya saath laya. Have this nuskhae kimya. Take it from me. So that is actually the significance of this ayah. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. I've explained this ayah in two ways. Now we proceed. Now if that was the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only to preach Islam, not only to convey the message of Allah to humanity, but to establish the deen of Allah as supreme. لِجُزْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. And this could be done only through a revolutionary struggle to change the system. If you change the system monarchy to democracy, you need a revolution. If you change the system of capitalism to communism or socialism, you need a revolution. If you want to change the system of the obedience to kings or the obedience to the public, to the obedience to Allah, you need a revolution. And for that you need a party that should wage jihad. That is why now we find, have this full text now. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min azabin aleem. Oh you who profess to believe in Muhammad and believe in Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hal adullukum ala tijaratin. Should I lead you, should I guide you دل يدل from دليل دليل some guidance some argument هل أدلكم should I guide you على تجارة to a bargain to a trade I mentioned in my some previous lecture that Quran uses very simple words those terms that are understood by every person tijara everybody knows what is the function of tijara what is the maqsad what's the purpose to get some profit some gain what are you to do to invest some money and then what three concepts are definitely attached to this tijara some capital small or big then work human potential what for to gain some profits hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min azabin aleem should I lead you should I guide you to a bargain to a trade which will save you from the painful punishment punishment of the fire of the hell do you want to be saved then you will have to undertake one tijara. Without that tijara, no hope, no salvation, no saving. Is it not the logical result? Logical inference? هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Unless you undertake this tijara, if you are hoping of salvation, you are deceiving yourself. Just as I told you, يا ايها الذين امنوا اركعوا واسجدوا واعبدوا ربكم وافعلوا الخير لعلكم تفلحون او يو هو professed to believe bow before Allah prostrate before him be a bondsman to him do good deeds so that you can have salvation and falah and success hoping for success and salvation without doing it it's your own wishful thinking Allah doesn't promise it Quran doesn't guarantee it in the same way هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله have faith in Allah and his messenger now who are being addressed who profess to have faith and the call is have faith in Allah what does it mean the same thing that we discussed in Surah Al-Hujurat قالت العرب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا Verbal attestation is one thing, and conviction and yaqeen is something else. Your faith should reach the level of conviction. There we have the additional word, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا And then they doubt not. Here, instead of that word, we have the style. Because who have been addressed here? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا And then, تُوْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ Now you should have the real faith, not only the verbal attestation. The verbal attestation has made you Muslims. But when this will enter your hearts, then you will be a real mu'min. So this is the first and the second. وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ And make jihad for the cause of Allah and spend in that jihad whatever is there in your nufus, in your body. On yourselves, your intelligence, your capabilities, your understanding, your capability of planning something, all these things, these are the capabilities which you cash in your businesses, in your profession. Devote these for the cause of Allah. وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ And your belongings, worldly belongings, whatever you have. The worldly belongings and the bodily resources. Devote them, spend them for the cause of Allah. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ This is better for you. This is good for you. Only if you have this real knowledge. Apparently, it appears to be some loss. No worldly gain. If I devote all my time to my profession, I earn more. If I earn more, I have more. amenities of life, comforts of life, luxuries of life. I divert most of my time and my energies to the cause of Allah. What does it mean? I'll have to tighten my belt. I'll have to lower my standard of living. So apparently it appears to me a bargain of loss. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If you have the real knowledge, if you know that the real life is the life of hereafter, وَإِنَّ دَارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانَ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ, then you will know that this is better. Devote yourself, dedicate yourself, dedicate your time, your energies, your work potential, your capabilities, your intelligence, your understanding, your money, your wealth, your sons, your daughters, they are also assets for you. Devote them for the cause of Allah. Train them for the cause of Allah. Bring them up in a manner that they also become your helpers in this cause. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذَٰلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Now about this jihad, I'm not going to go into details. I spoke for about 1 hour during this series of lectures also. What is jihad? 9-storied building. And the 9th and the topmost story is Qital fi sabilillah. Jihad, struggle. Struggle against your own baser self. Al-mujahidu man jahada nafsahu. From here it will start. Struggle against Shaitan and his armies. Struggle against the social pressures of a society which is going a wrong path. Then struggle to propagate the message of Allah, its wisdom, to the intellectuals, to the brain trust, to the common people. And then you have to go and struggle against those who are calling people to the wrong faith. There are Qadianis calling towards Qadianiya. There are Baha'is calling towards Baha'iya. There are the Christian missionaries converting Muslims in Muslim countries. Conversion going on in Pakistan, in Indonesia. So you have to meet them in their own elements. Then to establish the deen of Allah, you have to challenge the system. You have to challenge the vested interest. You have to undergo that period of passive resistance. Then you challenge the system. And when you challenge the system, there may be that you have to go to war, risking your life. At that level, this Qital fi sabilillah. But this is a gradual, higher and higher steps of jihad. تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. Now what are the promises of Allah if you do it? If you don't do it, if you hope for salvation, it's your own wishful thinking. But if you do it, number one, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. He will forgive you your sins, your shortcomings, your mistakes. وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ. And he will make you enter those gardens underneath which canals are flowing. And the residential gardens, very nice gardens, residences, fi jannati adn, in the residential gardens of adn. Zalikal fawzul azim. This is the biggest success. This is the real success. And this should be the goal in waging jihad. Additional success in this world is something additional. وَأُخْرَىٰ تُحِبُّونَهَا. Second promise. And another thing which you like, which you love very much. And Imam Razi says, in these words actually, there is a denunciation, denouncement. To long for success in this world is actually based on human weaknesses. What Allah wants is only You spend whatever you have for my cause, that's all, you are successful. And you must think that the real success is Jannah, not the success here. How many prophets went from this world unsuccessful according to our standards of thinking? But can we declare them, can we call them unsuccessful? What could Hazrat Nuh do? The whole nation drowned before his eyes. His own son drowned. What could Hazrat Hud do? The whole nation of Aad exterminated. What could Jesus do? People, for their part, the Jews hanged him. It's this different story that Allah raised him to heaven. But could he have any success here? At least in that part of his life. What could Moses do? Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a success through miracles only, that who could take the Bani Israel out of Egypt, the bondage of Egypt. But when there was a call, now you go to war for the cause of Allah, the whole Ummah Bani Israel replied, no, we are not going to do it. Go you and your Lord. فَذَبَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. Go you and your God, your Allah. You made jihad for the cause of Allah. You, first of all, you defeat these people. Turn them away from this land. Then we shall enter this land. We are not going to risk our lives. He was so much disappointed, despaired, that he prayed to Allah. This is all in Quran, in Surah Al-Maida. O Lord, فَفْرُقْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. رَبِّ إِنِّي لَا أَمْلِكُ إِلَّا نَفْسِي وَأَخِي فَفْرُقْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Oh Allah, I don't have any authority except for my own life and my brother Harun. The whole nation is giving a flat reply, not ready to go to war. So please now, separate us from this قَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. We don't want to live with them now. That was the condition of Hazrat Musa al-Islam. Could he have any success? So change the level and criteria and the concept of success. The success for a Muslim is only that he has done his duty. That's all. If he is declared successful on the day of judgment, he is successful. Even a single person might not have heard his call or accepted his call. Nothing to him. No blame on him. If he, throughout his life, remained calling towards the call, towards the path of Allah, then he is successful. As we read Surah At-Taghabun, ذَلِكَ يَوْمُ التَّغَابُنْ. That is the day when it will be decided who succeeded and who failed. The success is the success of that, the other world, the life hereafter. But this ayah was revealed in the later part of the fifth year after Hijrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had tested the Muslim Ummah, the Sahaba Ikram, Rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi majma'in. Muhammad and his companions, Muhammadur Rasulullah wal-lazina ma'ahu wa shiddahu lal-kuffari ruhamahu bainahum. They passed through all the hardships, the 12 years of Makkah, then Hijrah, leaving their homes and hearts and the graves of their ancestors, and leaving back even the haram of Allah, Ka'batullah, and leaving their families at the mercy of the wolf of Makkah. They went, they made hijrah, then they fought for the cause of Allah. They laid down their lives, 14 in Badr, 70 in Uhud. After Ahzab, Allah declared, now you have passed the test. أُخْرَى تُحِبُّونَهَا. Now we are giving you a great tidings, which you will very much like. نَصْرٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ. Now the help from Allah is at hand, and victory is going to kiss your feet very soon. And this is what happened. After Ghazwatul Ahzab, the battle of Ahzab, the Prophet had told the Ummah, the Muslims, لَنْ تَغْزُوكُمْ قُرَيْشْ بَعْدَ عَامِكُمْ حَاذَا وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَغْزُونَهُمْ. Now, the power of Quraysh has been exhausted. They will not be able to attack you again. Now the initiative will be from your side. Now we shall go towards Mecca. And this happened in the very next year, in the sixth year, when the Prophet and his companions, 1400 of them, they went to Mecca for Umrah. And then the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was concluded. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubeena. We have given you a very clear victory, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our companions of the Prophet, radiyallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So this is actually additional promise of Allah. The basic promise, if you have real faith, if you make jihad, if you spend everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you for the cause of Allah, the real success is the success of the hereafter. يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَيُدْخِلْكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. But additional promise, وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُّونَهَا نَصْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. O Muhammad, give this glad tidings, glad news to your companions. And I told you, the Prophet said, لَن تَغْزُوكُمْ قُرَيْشُ بَعْدَ عَامِكُمْ هَذَا وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَغْزُونَهُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.